Elgrove from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. It's Mason, August 30th. Here's what I'd flag before the open. Let's get into it. Next, second, from Forbes Business. AEW All In 2026 start time, match card, streaming info. After a summer of hype, AEW All In 2026 has finally arrived. The event returns to Wembley Stadium in London on Sunday with a full slate of matches and the possibility of new world champions being crowned in front of more than 40,000 people. Kenny Omega will defend the AEW World Championship against Ospreay in the show's headlining match, while Willow Nightingale, working through a hand injury, will put the AEW Women's World Championship on the line against Mercedes Moné in the latest chapter of their long-running rivalry. Up next, third, from Fast Company. Managers are bad at coaching. Four tips for improving. Ask managers and their employees what coaching in the workplace looks like, and they'll probably describe a formal scenario, a weekly calendar reminder that pops up mid-task, a stiff conversation about performance during an annual review, or a manager stepping in to solve an employee's problem. For managers, coaching feels like a time-consuming, uncomfortable, and high-pressure responsibility. That may help explain why managers struggle with it. And then, fourth, from Fast Company, the best privacy tools for using AI without giving up your data. Weave is a handy tool that lets you anonymize any text or files before using them with AI, stripping out personal details like names and addresses. It's quick, free, and doesn't require any downloads or logins. This is especially useful if you're using AI for sensitive tasks, like reviewing contracts, ensuring your private info doesn't get stored or leaked. Other tools worth checking out include Mac Whisper, which transcribes audio and video files offline, and Vibe, a similar option for Windows users. Both prioritize privacy, keeping your data local. For a deeper look at your AI interactions, Lumo AI Paper Trail can analyze your past dialogues, helping you understand what you've shared. If you're looking for a secure chat experience, DuckDuckGo's AI Chat anonymizes your conversations without requiring logins. Proton's Lumo AI also offers a reliable and confidential chat assistant. Just remember, with many AI tools, it's essential to know how your data is being used. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin, link in show notes. Next, fifth, from Inc.com, a man posing as a San Francisco 49ers player allegedly defrauded more than 24 women out of $1.3 million. Dejan Love, 35, is facing serious charges after allegedly defrauding over 26 women out of $1.3 million. He reportedly used dating apps to charm his victims, spinning a tale of a fake NFL career and enticing them with bogus investment opportunities. It's wild how someone can weave such a convincing story, right? His last victim described him as playing a great game, which really highlights the emotional manipulation involved here. It's a reminder to stay vigilant, especially when things seem too good to be true. The case is still unfolding, and it's worth keeping an eye on how this plays out. Up next, sixth, from the Daily Upside. Why is the job market so tough for younger workers? The job market is getting tougher for younger workers, with unemployment for college grads under 29 rising to 3.7% from 3.1% in just a few years. This shift is largely due to the lasting impacts of remote work, which has increased the skills and experience required for positions. A study found that remote roles demand 25% more qualifications, making it harder for entry-level candidates to compete. Interestingly, while AI is often blamed for job losses, research suggests remote work is the bigger culprit, accounting for 64% of the rise in unemployment among young grads. The lack of face-to-face mentorship in remote settings complicates the training process, leaving new hires without essential guidance. However, there's some hope on the horizon. Experts believe that as companies refine their hybrid work policies, the market could improve for younger workers over the next 5 years. So while the current landscape is challenging, it may not be a permanent state. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin, link in show notes. And then, seventh, from John Aziz. Five different kinds of anti-Zionism. Anti-Zionist thought is at the core of the conflict, in the sense that the Zionist proposal of a Jewish state in the Levant was fiercely opposed from the start by many different groups, which eventually led to partition and war. In an earlier piece, I discussed my view that anti-Zionism has been harmful to Palestinians, and my belief that Palestinians would benefit from rejecting anti-Zionism. In that piece, I offered a definition of both Zionism and anti-Zionism that I'm going to reuse here, because without definitional clarity this topic collapses into inane shouting. Next, 8th, from John Aziz. The victims of Islamism and authoritarianism. In the past few days, I've had a couple of viral tweets on X, formerly Twitter, both relating to my support for the ongoing protests in Iran. I'll show you my favorite one. A large chunk of the pushback that I get from these tweets is that somehow it is anti-Muslim, anti-Islam, or Islamophobic for me to support protests against Islamic rule. Of course, I've dealt with a lot of this at various occasions when I've criticized Hamas, both before October 7th, 2023, and afterwards. Up next, 9th, from John Aziz. When the internet becomes the battlefield. One of the weirdest things that I figured out from talking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict online is that the arguments over the issue online have in many ways become a part of the war. The comment threads, the quo tweets, the pylons, the clipped screenshots, the community notes, the mass reporting are all like a parallel struggle over legitimacy and sympathy, over which narratives rise and which are ignored. And then, 10th, from John Aziz, the hypocrisy of Roger Waters. Earlier this month, I wrote an overview of the career of Syd Barrett, Pink Floyd's first singer and guitarist, and a personal hero of mine in Café American magazine. That piece was focused on Barrett's music and the tragedy of his mental collapse, which ultimately led to his exit from the band, and was timed to coincide with what would have been his 80th birthday. One topic I didn't really touch on were my feelings around Roger Waters, Pink Floyd's bassist, songwriter, and sometime leader. Pink Floyd was often political music. That's the read. Watch the tape. Ignore the noise. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.